The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hello, gang. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Patrick Byrne. We continue our conversation from hour one. The book, Patrick Byrne, is titled The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald Trump the White House by a Man Who Did Not Vote for Him. Now, look, you're a smart guy. You are convinced the election was fraudulent. Many people look at you and me crazy. They say, where's the evidence? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they tried out the talking points. What do you know that people don't know? And what is in this book? And do you think the election fraud will be revealed? That's the question, because people will continue to say we're conspiracy theorists and just shut up, shut up, shut up. What do you think?
No, they're silly. They're silly. It was a lot of the facts are right there in the headlines. It's just that the press is in the disinformation business and preventing people from adding things up. There are six electorally very significant. This is all walked through. It's a quick read. Six very important cities or counties in our country, and that they're important, that they are the anchor cities of swing states. So to steal a nation of 3,006 votes, you don't really steal 3,006 counties. You steal six. These six counties jujitsu the Electoral College and the nation.
Sure.
Those six counties are the place where that crazy stuff happened on Election Day, where they said, oh, there's been in Atlanta's State Farm Arena, there's been a water main burst. We have to evacuate this stadium. Turns out a urinal overflowed in the basement, but they evacuated for 3 hours. Something like that happened in six different places on
Election
Day.
Okay, now, when that happened, days after or the day after, my question was, this happened here, 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 and here simultaneously. Who oversaw that operation?
Well, there is a great deal of Eric Kumar's name shows up in a lot of places, shows up in Arizona. Oh, it shows up in Georgia, resetting Dominion reloaded, which it's illegal. You have a safe harbor under the law that up to about 60 days before the election, you can put new software on your equipment, but you can't update after 60 days. They were updating. They took down, I think it was Fulton County. They took it offline in Georgia. Maybe it was Coffee County. They took it down and uploaded new software in the middle of the day.
But you're saying how it was done. There had to be somebody on the Democratic side of things overseeing this or giving the nod. Do you think so? And who would that be?
Yes, I think this goes. I mean, obviously, Mark Elias's name has come up as a lawyer who was used, but he's not the mastermind. In any case, let me explain it this way. There is a cocktail of techniques. Some of the techniques are retail level fraud, like a dead guy voted or some non-citizens voted. Some of the techniques are wholesale level, like counting 10,000 empty ballots, fake ballots or something. Some of them are industrial level. And what they did was they stole using the different techniques as much as they could in these different six places. But then at the end of the day, they came in with a cyber attack and forced at the top layer.
Right.
Mike Lindell is out there saying it should be 9-0. We have the proof. I know the proof he has. And it's, you know, Mike Lindell likes to say that on January 9th, some white hat hackers showed up in his life. They were, if you read the book, I described the bad news, some hackers I call the bad news bears. They were the guys. We had reached the point on January 9th, I didn't have any more access to the president. Lindell did, and I sent these white hat hackers to Lindell. And Lindell started going into the White House and telling Trump what it was we had been finding.
Okay, so but he's you correct. Still haven't told me who would be the mastermind behind. Is there a reason you can't give a name or two?
I don't know for I don't if you well I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I know the some of the names involved, but let's how do you get the public to eat an elephant, Eric? One bite at a time. Let's just okay. get that we're down on the fraud.
Well, the book is The Deep Rig by Patrick Byrne. What is in this book that we don't already know, and why did you write the book? Because you know, we've all been hearing this stuff here and there. Did you write this book just to kind of put it all in one place? Why did you write it?
Put it all in one place. People are confused by this cacophony of claims. There's one place with hundreds of links, so it's organized very clearly. You can read the narrative. Anything I say you doubt, you can click it.
And we know you didn't write the book for the money because you're a billionaire. Right. You own a mansion and a yacht. Let me ask you.
And I'm giving all the money to the America Project, which is something Mike Flynn and I got started to win this back. It's called the America Project.
The America. And that's fantastic. The book profits go to the America Project. Now everybody's going to get a copy. The Deep Rig by Patrick Byrne. Patrick, what if you have to guess or predict, when do you think this will get dealt with? When do you think this will come out sufficiently that news will cover it, that things will happen? Do you think that will not happen? What do you think?
I think it'll happen in the next week or two in Maricopa. I will be clear, while I have helped organize the funding for Maricopa and set the conditions that got it going, I keep an arm's length and kept out of the knowledge of what's been found in Maricopa. That said, by paying careful attention, I believe that you will see in the next week or two something come out of Maricopa that will shock the conscience of America. I think it's going to turn out there is far more. People can't. This is the scale this has gone on is far beyond
what
they're expecting.
That's what we need. In other words, we need to shock the conscience, not of Trump voters, but of America, that anybody who cares about the basics of what it is to be an American should be shocked at this kind of thing. But you think Maricopa is sufficient to start dominoes tumbling? Is that the idea?
There's somewhere between 10 and 20 states who are lined up with binoculars on Maricopa. There's dozens of counties. They're all going to launch their own audit if Maricopa comes up with dirt. And I think there's at least a dozen states that will. And then it just crumbles on the enemy. It just crumbles on the enemy. So it comes down to what they report in Maricopa, and I'm highly confident from having reviewed all the publicly available facts, they're going to find quantities that people are not even conceiving.
Okay, so you're predicting on this show that in the next week or two, America will be shocked.
Yeah, Trump lost by 10,000 in Arizona. I think you will discover you have reasons to doubt hundreds of thousands of ballots in Arizona. Out of 2.1 million in Maricopa, you will discover.
Jenna Ellis and Mike Lindell and I had dinner with some friends, and I got them together to argue over. Jenna says there's no constitutional path to reinstate a president, no matter how much fraud is exposed. Do you think it's conceivable? What is your take on that very controversial subject?
There is not a constitutional path that I see. It does not envision anything. They did understand there might be tumult and discourse and in the states, but they built mechanisms that whatever happened, the Senate looked at it and then they voted and then whatever. And at the end of the day, so I'm not sure there is. On the other hand, there is a constitutional path to consider past March. On the other hand, there's a principle in law that fraud vitiates everything. And I'm not a lawyer. There have been cases in America's history where a congressman got elected and then takes a seat and then many months later, fraud was that got reversed. That's happened to congressmen a number of times.
In some ways, it's neither here nor there. I just ask it to get your opinion. The fact is that if you say that Maricopa is going to tip the scales, be the tipping point, and that this will be unveiled. And you also said in the next month, other things will be revealed that you were alluding to earlier. That's a big deal. It seems like we're going to buckle our seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy month.
Yeah, I think that this month, I think the goons plan on coming back after Labor Day and going full authoritarian on us. Look, they've started in early May. They started a 100-day review of the military. If you count forward 100 days, it gets you to Labor Day. You know, a review for white supremacists.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of military in my life. I've never met one David Duke in my life.
It's so madness. Most Americans know this is madness. It's obviously preposterous. It's obvious. I mean, who can believe this stuff?
It's a Maoist. This is a Maoist revolution is what we're facing. Unfortunately, the bad guys have information dominance, but if it were not for people like you, Eric, and so that's why we like these shows with your reach.
Yes, and in case anybody forgets, God is on the side of truth, and he's the author of history, ultimately. Patrick Byrne, always a joy. We'll see you soon. Folks, the book is The Deep Rig. You need to get a copy, please.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the NRB in Dallas. And I can't say anything negative about Dallas because I'm sitting here with Jack Graham, who is the head pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church. You probably haven't heard of it. It's a little country church, not many parishioners. Jack, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I need to clarify something with you, though. You are in Fort Worth, Dallas. I know you're a New Yorker and you don't know Texas that well.
But you mean I'm so close to Fort Worth that I need to say Fort Worth, Dallas,
Because Fort Worth, I was raised in Fort Worth, Texas. And we were raised to love God and hate Dallas.
You know what? I forgot about that. And now you have gone over to the dark side. You're working in Dallas.
I was in Dallas, but we moved the church to Plano, actually, Plano, Texas.
Plano.
So we got out of Dallas.
Technically,
no, I love Dallas and the Cowboys and all things.
I actually love Dallas too. I was at an event at Dallas Cowboys Stadium the other day. They're renting that sucker out for high end events.
It cost $1 billion to build it.
And they've got. Did they need to build it? Let's not go into that. Jerry Jones is not here. We could say anything we want. So, seriously, though, I love Dallas. I get to Dallas more than any part of the country. I've spoken in your church a few times. We've become friends.
Always welcome.
And eventually former friends, but I'm still willing to have you on my program. Jack,
thank you.
I joke around with people I love. Your new book is called Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith. Okay, Jack Graham, what is Reignite about?
Well, it will forever be known now, I guess, as my COVID book. It came out during the pandemic, and I wanted to write a book about really my life story in terms of not me personally, but just how I view the Christian life. And now as a veteran believer, I've been trekking with the Lord.
A veteran believer.
That means I'm older. But I just wanted to say, okay, so what are the essentials of the Christian life? How do you keep going? How do you finish well? And so that was the goal, the enduring faith. The writer of Hebrews says you have need of endurance. And then COVID hit. And in the midst of all of that, we were having all these mental health issues and depression, anxiety, and addictions increased, and the suicides, and all that's been fully reported.
So you don't think locking people in their houses forever is a healthy idea?
No, and getting back to church was really critical for
church
for
is
us.
Not necessary. Didn't you read that someplace? Church is not necessary.
Yeah. Fortunately, here in good old Texas, our governor, Governor Abbott, made churches essential from the beginning. So we got a pass on that, and that's good. But, with all the struggles going on in people's life, the suffering, and we had just begun intensely working what we call life recovery people. You know, the church has not been that great at facing mental health issues over time. And so here you've got all this going on. And in 2009, now 12 years ago, I had a battle with anxiety, depression that I talk about. I've never kind of spilled my guts on this like I have in this book. And I did it not to get attention, but to maybe say I've been in this arena. I know what this feels like.
I just want to say I am very surprised to hear that. Because I know you and because of your personality, I have been public about struggling with not anxiety, but with serious depression. So I'm really curious to hear whatever you can share with my audience right now about that, because you really do not seem like the kind of person that I would imagine to be susceptible to that. And so I'm particularly glad that you're being open about it. So what was it around 2009, if you can say?
Yeah, sure. Well, it was cancer surgery, for one. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And by the way, if you're a man over 40 years of age, make sure you get your PSA checked, and because prostate cancer is highly curable if it's caught early. They did catch it. Unfortunately, they caught it a little late, and I was getting news that maybe we didn't get it all. So the first thing that happened after my cancer surgery, I went in with a lot of confidence, as you might expect, a lot of faith, just thinking, okay, I'm going to get in, get out. And I was literally back in the pulpit in 11 days. That was not a smart decision, because then I started feeling overwhelmed and lost. First thing that happened, I couldn't sleep. I was laying there at night imagining this cancer crawling all over my body. That was the anxiety piece. And ultimately, you know, I broke down. And anxiety, the Bible says, creates depression. So it's the stress, it's the pressure. It was really described by my doctors as kind of a PTSD, a post-traumatic stress syndrome kind of thing.
You know, when you're dealing with the mind, obviously, yeah, it is almost infinitely complicated. And so when people talk about a toothache or a headache, even those things can be complicated. But when you're talking about a soul ache, when you're talking about whatever depression is, there can be an infinity almost of ways to get there. When you talk about health stuff, that alone is a big piece of it, because a lot of people, if you've been healthy and up,
right,
you don't even know
no
what it's like to suddenly take a body blow.
In fact, if you know, even as a pastor all these years, I was kind of learning about the whole thing of mental health along the way, but until I experienced it, if you'd walked up to me, Eric, and said, you know, I'm really depressed. Now, I know you're a Christian and you're a strong believer, but you're saying I'm really depressed. Years ago, like a lot of other people, I might have said something like, well, snap out of it.
Right.
You know, read your Bible more, walk it off, pray more, you know, get over it. And now we know that depression, anxiety, many of these things are brain illnesses and injuries even. And if I could have snapped out of it, if wishing and hoping and praying would have gotten me out of this thing, I would have been out momentarily. But it lasted a long time. I know they said, well, you know, it's probably going to take you 6 months to a year to get through this.
Yeah.
And again, you do know my personality. I'm going, no.
Right.
I'm Jack Graham. I'll be done in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And I just couldn't pull myself up. That was the craziest thing. I've never been able not to pull myself up and to get going. And I felt like a dead man walking.
Well, see, the funny thing is, now I'm assuming there are people listening to this program who have struggled with some kind of depression. So many people have. And the problem is, you know, it's not like I lost a finger. Look, there's no way to show anybody what it is. There's no way even to know yourself, is this depression or is this some new kind of reality? Mm-hmm. Is this reality? And so when it hits you, even responding to it. I mean, again, if somebody stabs you, you don't say, well, who knows? Maybe that's just something my body is doing. You know, like, okay, I need to get stitches. I need to get to a doctor. But depression is so insidious that a lot of times you kind of think, well, maybe I need to just pray harder. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I need to. And then guilt can come in where you're beating yourself up. What is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to tell anybody because they're going to see right through me that this is baloney. This is not. So it's particularly insidious.
Yeah.
And so you, just to get to the physical piece now, so you, were you having some kind of treatments? Was there any physical component as this happened, or was this after all that happened? In other words, where were you in terms of your physical health when you went through the season?
Okay, so the physical health was good, though there was, you know, concern that maybe I would need further treatment, which I ended up getting some further treatment. And now here we are 12 years later. I'm happy to report I'm cancer free. And you know, we beat the cancer. So it was the year, it was the emotional side that knocked me down, not the physical side. It was the fears. I mean, here I am a pastor. I even remember writing in my journal before going into the surgery, Lord, don't let me flinch in the fire. So I really wanted to be strong. I didn't want to flinch. And I did flinch. But to use the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Christ was with me in the fire, the Son of Man. And I will say, like we preach, like we teach, you know, the adversity brought greater maturity. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better comforter of people having experienced this. I understand this. If somebody tells me they're having a mental health issue, I get it a lot more. And so it's very real. And you're right. It's not something you can see from the outside. It's not a wound. It's not, you know, you're not limping except in your soul.
Well, it's just wonderful to have you talking openly about this. The book is Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith, talking to Jack Graham. Now, Jack, part of the problem, I was talking to Vody Baucom earlier, certain things are so insidious. In other words, if somebody says, hey, you got depression, you need to pray more or listen to more worship music or whatever, that could solve certain kinds of depression, which is why you'd really do think like it could be me, because there are people who are doing the wrong things. If you're not exercising, if you're not any number of things, that can contribute, right? But it's been my experience that you could do everything right, and even the depression can make it difficult to pray, can make it difficult to focus and read scripture. So you need to have discernment about that kind of thing.
One of the things that happens is you start believing lies, and because depression lies to you. And the thing that I dealt with so much was you're stuck like this forever. You're never gonna be better than that.
Yeah. I want to come back and talk about that. Depression lies to you, and you think you're going to be stuck with it forever. That is a major, major piece of deep depression. We'll be right back talking to Jack Graham. The book is Reignite.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm.
Folks, I'm talking to Jack Graham. The book is Reignite. We're in Dallas. Jack, this is your home turf.
Yeah.
Thank you for stopping by. We're talking about depression. I've been public for years. I've struggled with it in all kinds of ways. And you said depression lies, and part of the lie, and this is why it's so insidious. It's so dark how it comes in. And even if you are strong in the faith and you know the word and you've walked strong with God, you can begin to believe the lie. And you said for you it was that this is never going anywhere. This is the rest of your life. You're going to be like this.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I was 59 at the time, so I'm thinking, you know, my life as I've known it is over. Or our ministry is over. When will I ever preach again? I took off a couple of months. I had a sabbatical coming from the church. I took it. I got back in the pulpit, but I still wasn't ready. I was crawling into that pulpit most Sundays, just getting through it. So it was the biggest battle was the battle within yourself. And you can say the lies come from Satan. They certainly do. But you also, I view the body as, I view our lives as body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, sanctify yourself, body, soul, and spirit. So the spirit and the soul are different, the body, of course. So all of the body, the soul, the spirit catch each other's diseases, if you will. So diseases of the mind, which is the soul, can impact the spirit and certainly impact the body. There are physical symptoms to depression, being exhausted, being tired, body aches, even things of that nature, headaches, all kinds of things. But the mind, the inability to concentrate, that's a big one. So how am I going to read my Bible if I can't even concentrate, if I can't even read a sentence? I mean, that's how serious this can become. But you just, you know, what I talk about in the first 60 chapters of this book just kind of tell my story.
What?
60 chapters of the book.
The
first 60 pages of the book.
Holy guacamole.
Now, the first
you
60 pages.
You threw a scare to me. I thought no one will ever buy this book
60
now.
Pages. Let me clarify.
This is a thin book. It's only 54 pages. What are you talking about? No, it's a thin book. The first 60 pages. Go ahead.
Yeah, is this story. And I talk about some things that a lot of Christians don't want to talk about. In fact, there was a time in the church, if you were depressed, you didn't tell your friends at church.
Yeah.
Because
listen, I know, unfortunately, Jack, you're talking to somebody who actually understands this, because I remember one time I also had chronic fatigue, which is another inchoate, confusing diagnosis mixed in with depression. I remember I was at a church, this has to be 20 years ago, and I said something. It was an old pastor. This is like out. We were on vacation, so I didn't know this guy. And I said something to him about this. I made the mistake of telling the 84-year-old pastor chronic fatigue. And he says, well, here's what you do. And he told me, read this scripture, memorize the scripture. And if you memorize that scripture and say it to yourself once a day, you won't have chronic fatigue. You'll have chronic victory. It was like that simple. Mm-hmm. Read the word, whatever. And I remember thinking, I want a magic pill. Yeah. I would like to believe that. But I think you're not understanding what I'm telling you.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And when you are depressed and you have these mental challenges, I mean, there's no question, you know, keep praying, as the scripture says, and keep reading your Bible and force yourself to get out among people and keep serving, just like you force yourself to exercise. By the way, exercise, steady exercise, good exercise is equal to an antidepressant in many ways for people who are moderately depressed.
Yeah.
But so exercise, very good. So you got to keep moving. You do all those things physically and mentally. But ultimately, I came to believe that for many people now, my depression was not chronic like many people have.
Yeah.
There's some people like my friend Sheila Walsh, who writes the foreword to this book, who has battled this her whole life. Great people in history, Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, men in the Bible like Moses and Elijah and Jonah and Paul himself, who said, I despaired of life at one point. So no one is immune to this. I don't care how great a Christian you may be, how strong in faith, you keep practicing your faith. You keep one step at a time going forward. But I actually went to therapy as well. And I talk about that. And, you know, for a pastor to actually go to therapy and to take some meds to get myself balanced, that was a big deal for me.
I'm so pumped up on goofballs and Adderall right now. If people only knew, that's how I deal with this. And a tumbler of vodka. Actually, I'm kidding. But I got to tell you, the shame that some people have, they say, I wouldn't take an antidepressant. That's a lack of faith. That's like taking aspirin is a lack of faith. You're a fool if you believe that. But there are plenty of people right now laboring under self-condemnation that if I do this or if I do that, and I just want to say that that is out of the pit of hell. That is God's
– it's a lie.
You're working against God's purposes in your life, because sometimes that's what you need to get up and out. And the same thing with
exercise. You know, my friend Tommy Nelson, who's pastor here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area also – He's public with his battles with anxiety, depression. And I quote him in the book. He said, you know, talking about taking medication, he said he went to a doctor and he said, I would have taken rat dung if I thought it'd make me feel better. You know, I mean, that's how bad this stuff can be. So don't if you're a Christian, don't say that medication is wrong. If you take medication for your diabetes, if you take medication for your cholesterol, if you take medication for whatever, This is something that medication can help you. It's not the end all.
Yeah.
But it is certainly, for me, it enabled me to get balanced again, to get on my feet again.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I would say prophylactically, if you're not exercising, if you're not eating right, if your weight is not near what it should be, all those things can contribute. So it's kind of like somebody says, what about if I quit smoking? It's like there's no downside. So do those things. But sometimes, and in my case, you still have to have medication or whatever it is. And don't let the enemy beat you up. We're talking to Jack Graham. The book is Reignite. We'll be right back. The city streets are empty
now. Last night, you know,
folks, we're talking about depression, and we're having fun. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friend, Pastor Jack Graham, Prestonwood Baptist, right here in the Dallas area. Wait, what part of the Dallas area?
Fort Worth, Dallas area.
Fort Worth, Dallas area. No, but your church is specifically in?
Plano.
Plano.
And Prosper. And Prosper, Texas.
So you have multiple campuses?
Yes, sir.
I think even saying that publicly is pride. I condemn you. Okay, so the book
That's
is
depressing.
The book is Reignite. Actually, I want to say this too, because I don't know if I've ever said this on the air. There are times when I've been so depressed, I cannot read the Bible, I cannot pray, and God has allowed me eventually to get to a place where I realize even there he loves me.
Yes.
And I remember reading, you know, Richard Vormbrand, he wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. He went through living hell in communist prisons and stuff. And he talked about being so debilitated that he couldn't pray. He couldn't do anything. This was just because of what he'd been through. But he said, I would just inside be thinking, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. In other words, even when you can do nothing, mentally you can battle this just by saying what is true. And that can be a powerful weapon. So even if you don't feel what is true, because when you're depressed, you don't feel truth. You feel these lies, but your brain still knows, no matter how I feel, Jesus loves me. Nothing can mess with that. My emotions mean nothing compared to that truth, and my emotions can lie to me, but if I could just lie here and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you love me. If that's all you can do, that is powerful. You don't need to be, you know, a prayer warrior getting up at 6 a.m. and hitting your knees. Because sometimes you cannot do that. And if you can't do that, you need to know not only is that okay, that's okay with God.
Yeah. And get people who you trust to be on your team to pray for you. And people that love you who, thank God for Deb Graham. I mean, she walked with me through this, and she had never seen this in me in any way.
And then you dumped her for a younger wife, didn't you?
No, not at all.
Is Deb here?
She's beautiful, and I would never. We just passed 51 years of marriage.
You guys, listen. Hey, praise God for that. I know, right? We're at a point where we should say this. Having someone by your side who loves Jesus and who's, I mean, there's no substitute for that.
And you know, it's just sometimes the simple things. You know, when for me, I don't know how others feel, but I kept saying to Deb and my closest friend, "Am I going to be okay?" Because that whole thing is, no, you're broken. You know, you're totally and completely broken. You're never going to get well. And I would say, "Am I going to be okay?" And just to hear somebody who loves you say, "You're going to be okay. You're going to make it," was very, very important.
As you know, I wrote a biography of Luther, and I preached about him in your church.
A little bit about depression.
And that's why I bring him up, because I remember him, and this is so cool, right? When he was going through hell, and I think he had anxiety and depression and obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm not even kidding. I think he had that stuff. It would attack him viciously. Mm-hmm. And to say it's a satanic attack, yes, it is, but it's a combination of things, and we don't know. But he would have people pray for him. And he would say, and this is brilliant, their faith was enough for me. In other words, God is so gracious that even if that's you have so no good faith, you're just dead. And you get people to pray for you. God responds to that. It's not like, oh, it's on you, it's on you, it's on you. People can pray for you, and that can just magically lift you out of things, or at least be a comfort to you intellectually, that God is with me through their prayers, even if I don't have the ability to believe anything right now. I'm just lying here.
Exactly. And in the book, I move from, this story, 60 pages about this story and how I got through that, to talking about enduring faith. And so the bulk of the book is about enduring when times are tough, when whether you're depressed or whatever mental or spiritual anguish you may be facing. We all suffer, we know that. And so I talk about a lot of basics and how over the years I've learned that you can trust God in every season of life, including seasons of suffering. And the God of all comfort, the Bible says, comforts us, and with the comfort that we are comforted, we comfort others. I remember going into the pulpit very quickly when I could barely get up there to speak, so I just took promises of God that I'd memorized, and I just, scribbled some notes and talked about the various promises of God each week. And I thought, these are really terrible sermons because I could barely concentrate to prepare. And when we put those on television and radio later, they became the number one requested sermon series on those promises. When I was so weak, when I could barely crawl up there and preach, the number one thing, and it's that truth that when we're weak, God is strong. And in our weakness, it's in our brokenness that we're built back stronger than ever. That's why I called it Reignite.
Well, Reignite is the book. Jack Graham is the author, pastor, friend. Jack, you know, the scripture that I remember when I am really the most down, the one scripture that I remember, and I feel like I can't think of anyone that's been more important for me, but where it says, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. All things, depression, debilitate. In other words, no matter what you're going through, we have a God who is able to take the worst thing in your life and to work it together for good. Standing on that promise, it just, there's nothing else that you could say, I'm lying here, I don't know if I'm going to get better. And you know, well, you know, it, even that doesn't matter because God says all things work together for good. It's just an amazing thing that God put someplace in Scripture very clearly that, so that every single thing there is, including the worst thing you go through, works together for good for those of us that love him. And that's a comfort. And what you just said, you know, you comfort those because you've been through this. Now you can sit here at this microphone with this book and minister to people. You would not be able to do that. The Lord is using you because you allowed him to take you through that season.
Yeah. And that is our prayer. The other scripture that, you know, I really want people to hear, because some people may be watching, listening to this right now, who are just hanging by a thread, and you're wondering, you're believing some of those lies. You're going to be stuck. I'm going to be like this forever. And guess what? There may be, you may be going through this a while longer, but the God of all hope, may the God of all hope fill you with peace and joy in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Hope is real, and hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the sure and certain confidence that our future is in his hands.
Well, that's a great place to end. My friend Jack Graham, congratulations on 51 years of marriage.
Thank you.
That is the most beautiful thing. Congratulations on the book Reignite. Folks, I think you know we're talking about something that's very important. The book is Reignite. Jack Graham, thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, hello.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I say anything, you know, ideologically substantive, I'd like to talk about my body.
Yes, please.
I take Nutramedics.
You do?
Yes, and I know you take Nutramedics.
I do too.
Let me just say this. I take a whole cocktail of Nutramedics products, and it's all good for you, and they work in funny ways. Anybody who knows me knows that a week ago, I was bald as a cue ball. I had no hair. Look at me now. Look at me now, folks.
Marvelous.
Now, that's the kind of thing I can joke about.
Yes.
Because I'm not, you know, officially with Nutramedics, and they would get sued by the FDA or something like that. So let me just say, I was just kidding. But no kidding. All of their products, they give away 50% to missions.
Yes.
So if you need, oh, I don't know, vitamin C, vitamin D, melatonin, you know, some of these basics, yes, magnesium, zinc, the stuff that most people should be taking every day, they make ultra high quality products, and they give half of their profits to missions and to similar charitable organizations. So I just want to urge you to do that. If you use the code Eric, you get 20% off. 20, folks. That's in base 10. That's a fifth off. I just did that in my head.
That's,
what do you make of it? Nutramedics.com,
yeah.
Nutramedics.com. Yeah. Well, I take their Deep Arctic Krill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. I feel more and more like a baleen whale. You know, baleen whales, they strain the krill through the baleen, the bony, it's kind of like teeth that they have.
Okay.
When you take Deep Arctic Krill, you don't need to be a baleen whale to feel like a baleen whale. It's a beautiful thing. My level of buoyancy as I go through the day.
I just got
to
chill because Patrick Byrne has the deep rig, and this is the deep krill.
Deep krill.
Wow.
Yeah, that's no coincidence. Wow. So, but anyway, Nutramedics.com, they're just such a great organization, great company. And don't forget MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Now, this is no joke. Most of my books are available at MyStore.com. If you use the code ERIC, you get a giant discount. I've said that many times. But people keep telling me they can't find my books sometimes, either at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or whatever it is. A lot of people, I've been talking a lot about Bonhoeffer because of the parallels to today, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So for copies of most of these books, I would urge you to check out mystore.com and use the code ERIC because most of them are priced ridiculously low, as you'll see when you go there. And a lot of people are no longer inclined to use Amazon or whatever. So I just want to make that option available to you. And we will eventually have all of my books at mystore.com.
Yes.
Mystore.com, use the code ERIC. And MyPillow.com, that's a new thing, right?
Yeah, that's something new for him, yeah.
Michael Lindell has launched something called MyPillow.com. He claims to have invented the pillow. I don't think so, folks. I don't think he invented anything like it. But he claims it, and he's my friend, so I'm going to go with that. So MyPillow.com, you can get slippers there. We know he invented the slipper. Because growing up as a kid, no one wore slippers. Nope. And then Mike Lindell comes onto the scene, and now they're a big thing. And young people are listening and wondering, really? Slippers were invented? Yes. Mike Lindell, my friend, invented the slipper. If you go to MyPillow.com, you can order them. He's the Edison of bedwear, bed clothing, and loungewear. And some people think of him as the Nikola Tesla of bedding.
I do.
And other people have called him the Steinmetz of bedding.
Sure.
But I'm not one of those people. Steinmetz is an extraordinary figure. If you want to find out more about him, do not go to MyPillow.com or MyStore.com and use the code ERIC. I'm afraid we're out of time. I wanted to talk about Nikola Tesla, but we don't have time.
No.